It is good to be here today, and this text is actually one of my favorite texts. Hal and I had talked before I was coming here, and he said, "What do you want to preach on?" I hate that question. It's like the Bible is really long, and there's a lot of stuff you can preach on. And he said that this Sunday you were kicking off stewardship season, which I prefer if we would start calling it gratitude season, but that's my little bugaboo. I love talking about gratitude. So he looked around in different lectionaries to try to see what would be appropriate for today and fell on to the text that is assigned as the gospel reading for Canadian Thanksgiving Day. So I had to start by saying, Happy Canadian Thanksgiving Day, everyone. And I love thinking about both October and November as gratitude season because we get Canadian Thanksgiving in one month, then we get American Thanksgiving in the next. It's just this long, beautiful celebration and chance to reflect on gifts and gratitude. And so with that, and this wonderful, amazing, straightforward story from the Gospel of Luke in mind, I want to just tell you about how in 2018, following the release of a book I wrote called Grateful, I spent a long time on the road, really up until the time of the pandemic, preaching and talking about gratitude. It was incredibly rewarding. I was in all kinds of different settings, colleges, retirement centers, lots and lots of churches. People want to talk about gratitude. And as these events unfolded one after one, I realized that there was a particular question that often arose in retirement centers and churches. And it would always come from someone who is a grandparent. And the question would be, how do I get my grandchildren to write thank you notes? At first, when I was asked this question, I was a little flummoxed by it because I was one of those grandchildren who had to be conned into writing my grandparents' thank you notes. At first, I would reply by offering what I thought were helpful tips on forming spiritual practices, what they were talking about down here with the kids, with children. But my answers never seemed quite satisfactory to even myself. And during one Q&A, a nice grandmother stood up, asked the same question, bemoaned that her grandchildren never said thank you for any of the gifts that she sent them, and she was hurt by their lack of gratitude. So it was more than a question. It was a testimony. On a whim, I asked her a follow-up question. I said, if your grandchildren never sent you a thank you note, would you stop sending them gifts? Or would you insist that they return their presents? She laughed and said, well, I'm tempted. And everyone else in the audience laughed as well. Then she went on, but of course I'd still send them gifts, and I certainly wouldn't take them back. So I replied, you don't send gifts to get the notes, do you? Why do you send your grandchildren gifts? Because I love them, she said. Thank you notes are nice, but my gifts aren't contingent on them. And that is today's lesson from the Gospel of Luke. In this story, Jesus heals 10 lepers. Leprosy in the ancient world, we don't actually know what it was. It was some sort of skin disease. And all cultures around the ancient Mediterranean world, Jews, Romans, Greeks, all these different pools of folks, different African cultures, all thought leprosy was caused because of some uncleanness, that you were somehow impure inside, it manifested itself on your skin, and those people then became themselves unclean. In this story, these 10 lepers are off in what used to be called leper colonies, places where they'd separate the unpure and the unclean from the rest of civilization. And all of these people are healed, all of them. But only one goes back to Jesus and said, thank you. He's an outsider, a Samaritan, perhaps one not accustomed to being the recipient of a divine gift like healing, a spiritual blessing conferred in this instance by priests. You notice Jesus doesn't actually heal the 10. He tells them to go see the priests, and on their way, they will be made clean. But for whatever reason, this one leper did not take the gift for granted and chose to return to Jesus to express his gratitude. And in response, I actually love this part, Jesus thanks him for coming back and then sends him on his way. Together, the Samaritan, now cleansed and healed, and Jesus, the one who has created the circumstance for the healing, create a circle of reciprocity, where they give one another gifts and they both express their gratitude. And that circle of gifts and gratitude changes things. This is a rich story for what it says about Jesus and the Samaritan who had leprosy. And it is an intriguing one for what it doesn't say about the 9 lepers, the ones who did not return to say thank you. There is, of course, in this story, no indication that the lack of gratitude on the part of the 9 had any impact on the gift that Jesus offered them. They were not unhealed. They did not have to go back to the place of exile, the isolation colony. So Jesus doesn't take it back. He didn't threaten or warn the 9. Don't say thank you, I'm going to punish you. He didn't send the disease to reinfect these ingrates. He didn't direct the temple authorities to arrest them and return them to isolation. Saying thank you or not had absolutely nothing to do with the gift. But this is where it really gets interesting, because the Samaritan man receives the same gift as the 9, and then he receives another gift. And we know that because of 3 words that are invisible to us in English, but would have been incredibly obvious to anyone who is reading this text or hearing it in Greek. There are 3 different words for healing used in this little story. The first word that is used for healing is ekarthistein, and that comes from a word meaning to cleanse, as in catharsis. And it usually was associated with a ritual cleansing. And so when Jesus says, go to the priests and you will be cleansed, you will be made, you will be healed, or he doesn't say that. He just says, go to the priests, show yourself to them. As they went, they were made clean. So the actual act of just going to see the priests, whose business it is to ritually clean things, whether they're Jewish priests or Roman priests or Egyptian priestesses of Isis, that was their job, was to clean what was unclean and make it pure again so there could be participation in society. And so all 10 of these people received that gift. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, now that word right there, healed, is not the Greek word for catharsis. It is a different word. It is iomahene. And that word means healed, means to actually be physically healed. And so one of them, he looked at what had happened to him, and he realized, I've been more than ritually cleansed. I've been more than just sort of made pure. My skin has been more than made pure. I've been actually healed. And he turned back, and I suspect the other 9, if they would have paid attention, would have probably noticed the same. But he turns around, and he praises God with a loud voice, prostrating himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. It's one of these rare places where we actually hear the word, somebody say thank you to Jesus. And he was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. He was a person who, in the eyes of many reading this story, would not deserve that gift. And then Jesus said, we're not 10 Ekklesiastes, were not all of you made clean, made pure? But the other nine, where are they? None of them was found to return and give praise except for this foreigner. And then Jesus said to the man, get up and go on your way, for your faith has made you well. And that little word right there, well, is another word for healing. And that word is sozo. And sozo is one of the most dramatic of words in the Greek New Testament. It means to be delivered, rescued, liberated, made whole, and saved. It is the word that actually refers to the full freedom that we find in and through God, with God's presence in our souls. It is what God has wanted for the whole of the universe. Sozo, restoration, liberation, deliverance. And so there's these three words, catharsis, to be cleansed, healing, simply to go to a doctor and get some medicine, which I know a lot about this week, or sozo, to be delivered. And what I think is happening here is that the building up of these words points to the fact that Jesus gives the 10th man an additional gift. Everyone receives the gift of being cleansed. Only one noticed that the cleansing involved some level of physical healing that went deeper than just the skin. And then he returns, he says, thank you. And Jesus says, ah, your faith has done even more for you. It has delivered you. It has made you whole. Ultimately, this story is a story about the generosity of God. The gift of healing is completely free. Christian theology calls that grace, a gift with no strings attached, a gift that comes from the nature of God and the gift of love, like the grandmother with the thank you notes. God is the ever-gifting one who never stops pouring out gifts on God's people and on the world, extravagantly, endlessly, without condition or without, this is my favorite part, any expectation of response. No requirement that we ever turn around and say thank you, because part of the gift we are given is freedom, the freedom to choose, the freedom to live a particular way of life, the freedom to make moral choices. All of creation is a gift, and every day we are surrounded by its abundance. These gifts never stop or never taken back, and are in no way contingent on anything we do. The gifts just are. Only sometimes do we notice. Occasionally, we look around us and say, oh my gosh, it wasn't just that I had enough money to pay my rent, but I've been provided for. This is a gift of provision. My need has been met on a deeper level than just the surface, but my need has been met somehow spiritually. When we realize that deeper level of gifts, occasionally we do turn back. We do fall on our knees in gratitude and say thank you. It isn't that gratefulness that heals us. It's God's grace. At the end of the story, Jesus, interestingly enough, says faith, meaning trust, not belief in something, but a disposition toward, makes us well. So that act of turning of gratitude creates something between Jesus and the Samaritan. It creates a circle of gifts and recognition and reciprocity and gratitude that creates metanoia for this Samaritan. Metanoia meaning a change of mind and heart. And so the Samaritan man goes from cleansed skin to physical healing to a transformed life. It isn't gratitude that does it, but gratitude in this act between Jesus and the man creates this circle of events in which this exchange and the sharing of gifts can occur. In essence, gratitude is an expression of our trust. We take gifts for granted because we trust that they will always come. Sometimes we just don't pay attention because they're always going to be there. We see ourselves perhaps as entitled. We deserved it. Or perhaps we just believe that God is trustworthy and we don't take the time. But so perhaps in a strange way, not sending a thank you note is an odd expression of human confidence in the gifts. We trust the dependable, loving grandmother who is always there to never forget a holiday or a birthday. But sometimes a gift is so enormous, so unexpected, that we do notice. And that's when we turn around, fall on our knees, and offer thanks. Finally understanding that those gifts are not something we should ever take for granted. That they have attended our lives since the very beginning. And that we exist because of all of the gifts that are around us. And that's when gratitude can change everything. It transforms our ability to see the gift, see just our lives, and turns it into a theater of giftedness. To stop taking the great generosity of the gifter for granted and to respond freely to the gifts and the giver with attentive trust. So what happens is reciprocity. Jesus gives a gift. The man receives the gift. He acknowledges the gift. Jesus acknowledges the man's acknowledgement. And then Jesus gives another gift. It's a circle of mutuality and exchange, of reciprocity, that creates a relationship between Jesus and this foreigner, this outsider. And when we enter into a circle like this, it strengthens our creativity, our capacity for humanity, deeper humility, and transformative action. And so I love this story. You never need to say thank you. There is no requirement, sorry Miss Manners, that you write a thank you note to anyone. Because God's love never, never ceases. The gifts never end. And yet, it is good to notice how extraordinary this truly is. This gracious love, this gifted life. And trusting that and being more attentive and mindful to it makes us whole. Amen.